This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
3 minutes past the 2 o'clock hour. 3 minutes into the 2 o'clock hour. Here on 106.7 The Fan, we're simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 3:35. Nats baseball comes your way at that point. Special happy birthday to one of the legends of the Washington football franchise, to one of the legends of the NFL period, Doug Williams. Having a birthday today. Doug Williams, super instrumental part of the organization and somebody that, quite frankly, we should just never forget. Somebody that was pretty important and pretty influential to Jayden Daniels. And happy for our guy Dougie Freshman celebrating a birthday today. So if you're out there tomorrow, I'm sure Doug will be out there on the practice field. Make sure you scream a big happy birthday to the Super Bowl champion, Doug Williams. A lot more to get to as we take you around the DMV here on this Saturday afternoon. We'll keep you up to speed on the preseason action. Jackson Dart having a pretty damn good start to his NFL career. 8-12, 109 yards, and a touchdown as the Giants are up 10-7 with about 4 minutes left to go in the opening half. Later this afternoon, we'll get to see Texans and Vikings. Will we see J.J. McCarthy in that one? Not sure, but that's definitely something I'm looking forward to. When you think about the offseason that Minnesota's had, J.J. McCarthy's really going to be the guy that puts it all together. Hopefully we get to see him make his debut later tonight. Cowboys and Rams. I don't care if Dak Prescott plays, but I do want to see Joe Milton. Dude, Joe Milton, just an absolute dog at the quarterback position. I think he's going to end up being a starter at some point, but always love the preseason because you get to see him. The Jaguar is going to be in action tonight. We get to see the debut of Travis Hunter. Super excited about that. Cam Ward expected to make his NFL debut later tonight as the Titans take on the Bucks. Then later tonight on NFL Network, we get Jets and Packers. And Aaron Glenn, the head coach of the New York Jets, said, "You bet your ass our starters are going to play." So Justin Fields, what seems like his final act as getting the chance to be a starting quarterback in this league, that gets kicked off tonight as he tries to lead the Jets to a couple of scoring drives as they're expected to get some limited preseason action. Bo Nix in the Niners going to be in action later tonight as well. Andy Reid said that the starters for the Chiefs will play about a quarter this afternoon as they take on the Arizona Cardinals. So a full slate of NFL action coming up here on this Saturday afternoon. Chris Russell going to join us a little bit later on in the hour. We'll also let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders. But want to continue to run through your calls, man. What stood out to you, good or bad, about the preseason opener? To me, my big standouts of them giving out game balls, Johnny Newton was absolutely awesome. Trey Amos was awesome. Josh Connerly was awesome. Jeremy Reeves was awesome. Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, you felt his vision. You felt the quickness with the jump cuts. They were really good. Jeremy Reeves was awesome. Noah Igbinoghene was good. Chris Paul up front along the offensive line, I thought, did some good things. Tyler Owens played well. Thought Ja'Cory Brooks flashed. Trent Scott, too. I haven't mentioned Trent Scott all show. I thought Trent Scott showed well for himself, too, there, playing some left tackle after playing guard pretty much all of the offseason. Who didn't stand out and who needs to go review some tape? Sam Hartman was god-awful to the point where next week, if Marcus Mariota isn't ready to go, Josh Johnson should be the second quarterback. There's no debate about it in my mind. Thoroughly outplayed Sam Hartman and gave the wide receivers a better look. That's what's more important to me. Eddie Goldman, as I've talked about, man, just it's unfortunate because what he was billed as, 6'3", 325, is supposed to be the space eater that stops them from, you know, getting obliterated in the run game. He got moved off of his spot so many different times last night. And when you think about it, like, he's expected to play pretty significant snaps during the regular season. So, yeah, I am sounding the alarm a little bit about Eddie Goldman. 1-800-636-1067. What stood out to you in the Commanders preseason opener? Let's go to Tony out in Clinton. Wants to tap in. What's up, Tony?
What's good, man? Listen, everybody calling when all these concerns just needs to calm down and relax, man. Look, the Eagles got beat 26-3 in their preseason opener last year. The Jags won all of their games. They won 31-0 in their opening game. Tennessee won all their preseason games. Like, this doesn't – only thing you care about in the preseason, at least me, look for some obvious flashes, some obvious terrible, and everybody stays healthy. So the guys that matter out on the field that we know are going to be significant players, into the, they get off the field healthy, they got some reps. But that's all that really matters. The score doesn't matter. All that other stuff, we given 1% of what we're going to do in the real world. So, like, folks need to calm down.
I think that is the mentality that everyone's had. I don't think anyone's, you know, up in arms about this. I just think that at times, oh my gosh. What is that? The tweets are rolling in. I got to stop reading. Skip is in Vienna. What's going on, Skip?
Hey, good afternoon. I love your show.
I appreciate
and by
you,
the
man.
Way, thank you for also talking about the Wizards sometimes.
That's hey, of course, man.
Kind of good to hear. Hey, I'm a little bit up in arms about this because mostly everybody, and I think the Commanders are guilty of this too, is saying, well, we benched our top 30 players and, you know, and so it wasn't really even and, you know, they beat us. And I told AWOD this morning, you know, their second team and third team beat the hell out of our second and third team. They scored a touchdown with 1 minute left. That had to be the scrubs on both sides. I mean, they just sort of walked all over us, you know, and I keep getting this pushback about, you know, well, our top 30 guys were out and it's not really any big deal. And I just thought the whole thing was kind of alarming.
Yeah,
but I wonder if you and Doc could grab AWOD and spank his bottom on the air over this. That would be, I think all of us would enjoy that.
Oh, man. Skip, I appreciate you as always, man. Look, I can't have the same level of concern that Skip has, or if anyone else feels that way. It's just, it's preseason, man. Like, if I'm calm and not up in arms about it, you shouldn't be either. Like, that's the best way that I can put it, because if anyone's known to, I guess, overreact, it's me, right? But in reality, like, what we saw last night, I mean, look, the main thing that I care about, like a couple callers ago said, the guys that are going to be contributors during the regular season, your Johnny Newtons, your Trey Amoses, your Josh Connerlys, like those dudes play well. And like that, for the most part, is really, you know, what matters to me. And the next week against Cincy, if they come out and look like that next week against Cincy and the Bengals come out and run the ball down our throat, then yeah, I'll have some concerns. I'll have some reservations, but it just is what it is. Let's go to Sam in Gainesville. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Lindell. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller. Enjoy listening to your show.
Appreciate you.
So a couple things. As far as what I was pleased with, to take a positive spin, I think we're going to have a strong running back room, man. I think our running backs played very, very well last night. I think they ran hard. They made good jump cuts, low center gravity. I'm really excited about that. But I just want to take a different take on something here. I know no one's brought this up, and we shouldn't care because we're not Pats fans. But I find it really interesting that they unveiled Brady's jersey last night. I think Kraft really blew an opportunity to have strong momentum for a regular season game. Now, I don't know if that's a league requirement that he couldn't do it during a regular season game, but if not, I think they blew an opportunity. I mean, we saw how much momentum they came out with. They should have done that in the regular season.
I think that's a good point. I'm telling you, that's the main reason why I feel like the energy level looked different between both teams, man. I keep saying it. You cannot fake urgency. You cannot fake desperation. And you know how easy it is to get juiced up when a statue's being unveiled. That wouldn't surprise me if Brady, wouldn't surprise me if Brady came in and like hyped the team up before the game. So,
absolutely. Why not? That's who he is.
Exactly.
And I don't know why they did that in the preseason game unless they were forced to. So anyway,
yeah, we were talking about that yesterday when I was sitting in with Grant Paulson. Like, they have a couple of primetime games. So it's obviously something you want to do for a primetime game, right? I was thinking, well, damn, how many home primetime games do the Patriots have? And they definitely, to your point, I'm glad, Sam, I'm like, you're scratching an itch for your boy. Because I, for the life of me, could not understand it either. So here are the other opportunities that they could have had, Sam. So their first primetime game is actually on the road in Buffalo on October 5th. But November the 13th, that's a Thursday night football game. They're at home against the Jets. Wouldn't that have been a perfect opportunity?
Two weeks later. AFC East, absolutely.
In the AFC
East. Yeah, he blew that.
A team that Brady hated. He even gave a Jets joke during the speech. And then this would have been another good one, too. They're at home on December 1st on Monday Night Football against the Giants. Like, that would have been a good opportunity. Yeah. You think about the rivalry that Brady had against Eli and the Giants. That would have made perfect sense. I'm glad you brought that up, man, because it felt like nobody was on the same page with me with that, man. Like, that was a big part of what happened last night.
You're not alone, my friend. You're not alone. It goes back to the point. Was this league mandated that it had to be done during preseason?
Yeah, it's an interesting point, man. I appreciate the call, as always. 1-800-636-1067. I want to read a couple tweets here, and then we'll let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. I thought Dan Quinn just gets it. I always feel like this. He understands the moment. He understands the moment. He understands the right thing to say. And I don't even think that that is like his goal. I don't think he's going out there trying to please folks in the media. I just think he gets it, man. I just think he gets it. Now, the big question that I'm going to have here moving forward is, well, we saw them come out flat last night. I can't see it again. I can't see that in week two against the Cincinnati Bengals. Or then it'll be at a point where, like, okay, I'm ringing the alarm a little bit. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. He had a couple interesting cuts postgame that I want to get to. Plus, in this 2 o'clock hour, we'll also get to our pal Chris Russell, the Rooster, who you can hear weekdays 1-4 right here on the Team 980. We get his thoughts on what happened in the preseason opener for the Washington Commanders. But first, though, we'll let you hear from the head coach of the Commanders, Dan Quinn, next. Still moving and grooving right along.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We take you around the DMV here on this Saturday afternoon. You're tapped in to the Youngest and Charles and L. Willingham. We'll get you up to 3:30. Game two of Nats and Giants comes your way at that point. I want to get a couple tweets out here because you all are tweeting at me profusely here. And they're not mean tweets today. It's at NELL_BTP. Morgan Miller tweets at me and says, dude who called in about McNichols is so wrong. That guy is not going to make plays like Bill will. We need playmakers. I'm tired of the old heads being all conservative about their approach. This ain't the Redskins of the past. With homers who just play ball. That's a strong tweet. I got Tate Wilson says, Goldman was getting beat like a drum. Bill was the best thing about last night. We have talked about Eddie Goldman extensively here, and I'll be honest. Like, that to me was probably one of the bigger disappointments about last night. Was watching Eddie Goldman get blown 4 and 5 yards off of the football at times against double teams. When you think about what he was brought here to do, be a bigger body defensive tackle, run stuff, not give up ground against double teams, he did none of that last night. None of it. And I'll be real here. I have my concerns about that spot going into the regular season. Javon Kinlaw and Daron Payne, like, they may be the most important pieces to the defense. They have to be impactful. They have to push the pocket. They have to be strong at the point of attack, and they got to allow Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu to keep their jersey clean. We can't keep having our defensive tackles get pushed into the laps of the linebackers. Like, that can't happen. It's so frustrating to see. And it was the big problem last year. You all were ready to stab me because obviously I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you all couldn't stand the fact that I was the guy last year first on the scene to point out the deficiencies with this run defense. And ultimately, the run defense cost them in the NFC title game when Saquon Barkley looked like the second coming of Jim Brown. As we sit here, after preseason game number one, I know 30 different guys didn't play last night. The run defense is still a concern for me. It just is. But when you lose 48-18, you're pretty much sloppy all the way around. Here's the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, on just how sloppy this group was.
Yeah, all three phases, I thought it was sloppy tonight. We had 15 penalties and in different varieties, you know, pre-snap, 12 in a huddle, illegal formation. We had two holdings, I believe, on a kickoff return, an OPI. Like, they stacked, and that showed sloppiness to me. And it was, this is going to sound so unusual, and the practice was almost just the opposite. And I thought, okay, you know how I feel about penalties. And so that did not make me happy. Sometimes with penalties, there's an over-trying that takes place. Usually that's with a holding. You know, he didn't let go. You know, they're trying to make a play. But the pre-snap ones, that's lack of focus. And those are the ones that irritate me and, you know, drive me up a wall. And so those are some of the things I talked about, standards that I expect to be improved in these 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, brutally honest, bluntly honest from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn. I mean, it is pretty fascinating to see how many times they were penalized last week or yesterday, rather. I do think it's something that stood out. I know it's something that frustrates him. I chalk it up to a lot of first-time guys last night. A lot of guys played their first NFL game last night, and I don't want to overreact to it too much, but I do understand that it can't happen, right? It can't be something that lingers into the regular season. It can't be something that continues to ail this group. Penalties hurt them at certain points last year as well. But hopefully it was addressed, and it's something that they're able to move on from going into next week against Cincinnati. One guy that stood out, and we highlighted him earlier, I thought was Johnny Newton. I mean, he needed to play big. He needed to play well. The thing about the Johnny Newton pick, he was a second-round pick last year, misses most of training camp with an injury. I thought he flashed toward the end of the season. But for Johnny, I've got high expectations for him because of how he was touted coming out of Illinois. This was a young man that, if it was not for the foot injury, would have been a first-round pick. So you expect a little bit more out of him. I thought last night he flashed, had a couple of good rushes. Thought him and Jacob Martin did a good job working off of one another on a stunt that led to the forced fumble. I thought he had a run stuff that was pretty good where he shed a block and made the tackle 2 yards downfield, which was good, not getting blown off the ball. He did get moved a couple of different times in the run game, though, but I don't expect him to be good playing against double teams. He got stronger this offseason. How much stronger did he get is the big question. He also had a red zone pressure on Drake May that caused the football to come out a little bit quicker. Here is the head coach of your Commanders, Dan Quinn, talking about second-year defensive tackle Johnny Newton.
I thought what I've seen over the last, you know, probably 2 weeks, I really felt like his hand use as a pass rusher has stepped in. He's got very good initial quickness off the ball. He can beat somebody to the punch. So there was a play, maybe, I don't know if there was a second drive, where he and Martin kind of combined on a sack. You guys probably had a better view of it than me. But I do like what I've seen from him pass rush-wise, his hands. And so I thought he's off to a good start.
One thing that stood out about DQ's answer there that really popped yesterday on the pressure that Johnny Newton had and on the run stuff, hand usage. Having violent hands, clubbing people, being aggressive. Like, that is how you play defensive tackle. It is a war. Like, it is an absolute war, honestly, out there in the trenches. And Johnny Newton, you know, last night was right in the middle of it. Eddie Goldman, right in the middle of it. you're not going to win every pass rush rep. You're not going to, you know, make the stop on every run play. You're going to get blown off the ball at times. It's about the fight and the effort level. One thing that stood out last night that I have not really spoke about, the Commanders look gassed, especially in that second half. They look fatigued up front, along the D-line, at linebacker. Like, guys just look fatigued. They just did. Now, I mentioned Dom Hampton and Kane Medrano. They were not too impressive, in my opinion, is how I would put it. I wanted to see them fly downhill with more of a reckless abandon. And I just don't think we saw that enough. Now, to their credit, it's hard to play the linebacker spot without being timid when your D linemen are getting pushed into your lap. So it's a give and take here when talking about how the linebackers played last night. Here's Dan Quinn on what he saw from a key member of the front seven, that linebacker spot.
I want to watch it before I see. It didn't feel as clean as I hoped it would look. So we've got a lot of work to do. There's some real competition in that spot. And as you're going into first performances, I don't want to rush to judgment on it. But I would expect more plays, more rotations, you know, into the next game. We have another game, another practice, and another game, you know, for real evaluations. And we go against ourselves, and that counts. But it does make a difference against the other opponents in the games.
Dan Quinn on the linebacker spot. Yeah, they got a lot to work on. Jordan McGee. I thought Kane Medrano and Dom Hampton had a big opportunity last night with Jordan McGee being on the shelf. Could they come up and flash and pop to maybe eat into some of his snaps? I think last night only helped Jordan McGee, honestly. He's the guy that's going to fly downhill and is going to crash. And he's a little bit bigger and thicker than Medrano and Hampton are as well, so maybe that aids that. But bottom line is this, he got a lot to work on. Here is Dan Quinn on what the team needs to focus in on as they get geared up for this week of practice.
It's a lot. First, we do is, like, teach off it. Like, this is the foul, this is why it's a foul, this is the technique. And then you have to really drill it, to be honest with you. It's as easy as in a holding one, when do I release? You know, like, you have to drill that. I got contact, I'm in contact, now I let go, where you don't see two different colors, you know, like for the referee, where he sees, you know, restricted material being grabbed and I work to release. As far as the focus goes, those are ones aligning in the neutral zone, the pre-snap ones, like why wasn't the formation correct? That does take extra focus, and the practice for that is also mental work. Like, our inner game is not strong enough if you have that many fouls, meaning in our inner game, our preparation for that. And so I'll work hard at that with the players.
Dan Quinn, open, honest, and transparent as usual when talking about what happened last night. The Commanders 48-18 losers at the hands of the New England Patriots in the preseason opener. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue to look back at last night. This time we'll do it with our pal Chris Russell next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
For the Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. About an hour left to go in the program before we hand things over to our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. We'll get you warmed up for game number two of Nats and Giants coming up here on the Fan. We'll wrap up our conversation on the Commanders right now. But as we finish out this hour and then finish out the show, we'll take a spin around the National Football League. Shador Sanders, pretty good last night in his preseason debut. We got to see Bryce Young and the Panthers. We'll touch on that. Plus, we'll preview some of the action coming up here today. And I guess I have to talk about Jackson Dart because, wow, what a first half from that young man. I'll say this about the Giants and then the NFC East as a whole. I've been saying it for the past month. The battle inside of the division is going to be a lot stiffer and more difficult than what people are maybe anticipating here, including the season opener in week one against the New York Giants. That is going to be an absolute dogfight. Right now, though, keeping the conversation going on the Burgundy and Gold, recapping last night's preseason opener against the New England Patriots. We're joined by our pal Chris Russell, who you can hear weekdays 1-4 right here on the Team 980. Chris.
Hello, Linnell.
You sound very clear, my friend.
Well, I mean, through the magic of technology, I can sit in my home office and watch the Giants and Bills, not have to make the ridiculous 3-plus-hour commute back and forth,
And
join you on the radio.
Well, there we go. I know this is your favorite team on right now, talking about the New York Giants.
That is not true. Let me just say, for the record, it may have once been that way. It has not been that way for a long time.
Well, all three of your teams are in action this afternoon. Giants and Bills are playing each other now. Then the Jets play later against the Packers. So,
all right, Doc. Okay,
just a Saturday rendezvous for our pal.
All right, Doc.
For our pal Chris Russell. Who? No, I'm kidding. So, I don't know how much of the show that you've heard.
I've heard some.
You should have been listening from the very start.
Because I have nothing else to do on a Saturday.
It's not about, I mean, you can plug me in on the TuneIn app, on the iHeartRadio app.
I have all of those apps. It doesn't mean I want to listen to you any more than I already have to during the week.
Well, there we go. my biggest takeaway, first and foremost, I've had a bunch of people call and complain about the energy level that the team came out with last night. You're a smart guy.
Yeah.
It's hard to create. First of all, I say it in playoff basketball all the time. You can't fake urgency. Mm-hmm. You can't fake desperation. For a preseason opener, like for a head coach, it's probably the most difficult job to get your difficult game rather to get your guys juiced up for.
Yeah.
The Patriots had a easy motivator last night. Tom Brady getting the statue unveiled. I'm sure he came in and spoke to the team before the game kicked off. It looked like that for all four quarters, that one team was just a little bit more juiced up than the other. It's not an indictment on Dan Quinn or the coaching staff. I just think it's the reality of the situation.
Yeah. And then factor in also, in addition to everything you just said, you're not playing 30 specific players, right? I think the count was 30. Was that right?
30, yep.
I think it was 30. On top of that, you're not really game planning. You've been sitting around a hotel in New England outside
all
of a
day.
Walk. outside of a walkthrough on Thursday for an hour, you're kind of just, I don't know. They say the dog days of August in baseball, but these are kind of the dog days of August in the NFL, even though, you know, training camp just started a couple of weeks ago. You're ready to hit somebody, and you should come out with a little bit more energy, all of those things aside. But again, there's reasons. And then the other thing that struck me is, you know, if you're watching the game and you're one play late, you're already down 7-0, and Trevion Henderson gives a jolt of electricity, not only the 7 points, but a jolt of electricity to the Patriots. I'm sure that translates to the defense. You're starting your third-string quarterback. And here's the other thing. Well, the missed tackles, which were a problem at times last night, and there were lots of problems, start on that very first play. I mean, I love Noah Igbinoghene. I think he's had a good camp, but he can't miss that tackle at the 40-yard line as fast as Trevion Henderson is, yeah, because he's basically the safety in that particular situation. Once he blows that joint, he's gone for the rest of the 60 yards. So, you know, I mean, these are things that, like, obviously you can't see happen during the regular season. I pointed out last night, I don't know if you agree, remember the sloppy start on special teams the first 2 weeks of last year, even though Seibert had the 7 field goals in the week 2 win against the Giants, they had a kickoff return for a touchdown wiped away because of a penalty on, I think, Nick Ballore when yep. Austin Ekeler returned it. They also had another penalty on special teams that game. They missed a field goal. They missed 2 field goals in Tampa in week 1. So some of this stuff is kind of just normal, and I expect it to be a lot better against the Bengals.
Yeah, so to the Commanders' credit, that kickoff return should have been called back. There were 2
correct
egregious holding
correct
penalties.
At the 30, I saw yeah. the, yeah.
I think Yankoff got yeah. held, and then I also think, I'm blanking on where the other hole was. But to your point, though, yeah, I actually said it with Grant yesterday in terms of what I was looking at. This special teams unit was a real advantage that the team had last year. They were one of the best kickoff coverage units in all the National Football League. Their kick return average was one of the best in football. Yeah. So, yeah, was disheartening.
Except for against Dallas in the regular season.
Yeah, so it was kind of disheartening to see that last night. But also, Jeremy Reeves was not on that kickoff unit last night. They were trying to get some other guys some different looks. But Kane Medrano, if he makes this team, is going to be on kickoff. Yeah. So, disheartening to see that. The other thing that I've been talking about that stood out to me in a positive way. So one negative, we'll go one positive here now. I thought Josh Connerly played, you know, pretty well last night outside of a few plays. It's not going to be perfect.
Right.
If you've listened to any of the New England beat writers up in Foxborough, Will Campbell has gotten off to a, you know, mixed bag start as well. It's just what happens transitioning to the National Football League at that spot. What did you see out of Josh Connerly? And do you give him – how much of an opportunity do you give him to unseat Andrew Wiley as a starter? Because even though he played well last night, Russell, I still think it's Wiley's job to lose.
Yeah, it's probably Wiley's job to lose unless they wind up ultimately kicking Wiley in at right guard, because I don't think Sam Cosmi is going to be ready, you know, for week 1. So, you know, but the plan that I've had all along in my mind, and I don't know if you agree, is what they basically did, and it was a different situation at left tackle last year with Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman, who did miss a lot of camp in the entire preseason last year. So there is a difference in at left tackle where they were kind of splitting them for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. So that's kind of how I've approached it in my mind. But again, you know, we have to see what officially happens. I think the expectation, at least that I have, I'm guessing you have it, is that Cosmi is not ready for week 1 and probably has to go on PUP. But
yeah, we'll see. I'll say this. I think if he starts on PUP, that would surprise me. The way that they're talking, it seems like if week 1 is a possibility, then I don't see him starting on PUP.
I mean, you could be right on that. But remember, week 2 is a short week. You know, Thursday night football, so there's no real practices, so on and so forth. I mean, we can debate all of that. But anyway, back to Connerly. I did see him get run around one time that I particularly noticed, that I was able to hone in on him, and I'm just starting to watch the game back now. So I'm sure I'll see more. But I did kind of like one of the stretch runs by Bill. I thought he did a pretty good job of sealing on. Again, I want to see more as I can slow it down and focus and isolate. But I think overall, from what I've seen at camp, yes, inconsistent, up and down. But some of that, a lot of that, I think, is to be expected. A's a rookie. We know that. B, he's playing a new position or a new side. Well, he's also going against Dorrance Armstrong and Von Miller at times. Not every snap, obviously. Right. And he's just trying to get his feet wet. And we know this, right? He's an athlete who's going to win with movement. He's not an athlete who's going to win probably right now with power and strength.
That's just not who he is, and I'm not surprised by that at all.
But he'll bulk up, right? Wouldn't you think?
Well, I think he'll be way stronger at the start of the regular season than he even is now. Like, this is the byproduct of, you know, going through an NFL weight training program. So, like, I know there was a, you know, my thoughts on Connerly made headlines about a week ago. I said he's been underwhelming. That was the case up until that practice, and he's practiced well over the past 3 days.
Yeah.
Looked good in Foxborough, according to folks that were there. And then also had a good last day before they left. So it's a work in progress. I expect him to keep getting better. Never did I say the kid's a bust. Never did I say, you know, I don't think he'll be worth a damn. I just think it's going to be some growing pains at that spot.
I would agree with that. So, and just for the record, stop beating up on my guy, Linnell. You guys destroyed me for years and years and years, and you made me miserable. Stop beating up on my guy, LW.
Oh, man. An endorsement from you is... It's fitting.
A dangerous thing.
Yeah, it's certainly. It's Chris Russell, host of the Chris Russell Show, weekdays 1 to 4 here on the Team 980. Joining us right now as we bring in the autopsy of what happened last night as the Commanders were 48-18 losers at the hands of the New England Patriots. One thing that I've talked about going into next week that needs to change, if Marcus Mariota is not going to be healthy, I'd like to see Josh Johnson be the second quarterback.
Yeah, me too.
To get a stab at it. Sam Hartman up and down. The coaches have kind of baked in the excuse through the media that, hey, he had shoulder surgery this offseason, but shoulder surgery or not, I mean, it's hard to get your skill guys a good look when you're getting this guy at the spot.
You know, now the problem also is he wasn't helped out by guys not catching balls, whether they're true drops, whether they're non-catches. I mean, like the Chris Moore deep shot, I mean, you probably should come up with that. Not easy, but you probably should come up with
Terry
that.
Terry would have.
Go ahead.
I said Terry would have.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people were saying that last night, no doubt. There was one early, I think on the first third down, if I'm not mistaken, on the first series where Chris Moore dropped one, right? Lawrence Cager, who I thought had a really, really nice route and catch later on in the game in the second half, third quarter, then he had an offensive pass interference. So that was one penalty. Now, he would have dropped that ball, so it didn't count, but it was an offensive pass interference. So you got kind of a double punishment there. There were K.J. Osborne had a couple of drops. And again, everybody judges or grades those a little bit differently. I kind of look at it as, you know, unless it's clearly and obviously a drop, I call it a non-catch. Whatever you want to call it, it is what it is. They didn't help out their quarterbacks last night. But I will say this, Linnell, and I think you agree with this based on what I heard yesterday. Jaden Daniels, he needs to play a quarter and a half at least next Monday night.
I totally agree.
At least. And I would go so far to say, please play a half. I mean, can we play a half? Do we have to have, you know, kid gloves on everybody?
Yeah, I would totally agree with you on that, man. Like, he definitely could stand to play at least a half. If they only give him a quarter or a quarter and a half, I wouldn't be mad at that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see him in 2 minute situation. I want to see him in the end of half situation. There's some things that need to be cleaned up, and you also need some more real game reps with this wide receiver unit. So we'll see what ultimately happens. Real quick here, because we got to hit the break. Like, you got to be 30 seconds on this answer.
Yeah.
What did you think of the linebackers last night?
Yeah, not good enough. I mean, but I don't think it's their strength, right? I mean, if I'm looking at Dom Hampton and if I'm looking at Kane Medrano, I'm probably looking at them dropping more into pass coverage and zone coverages where this team and this starting unit struggled last year, i.e. Wagner, Luvu, and whatnot. So that's not their strength going in. I don't think they were good at it last night. And, you know, that's just kind of my early read on it.
Chris, we appreciate you as always, man. We're way up against the clock. I forgot there's a hard out at the end of this hour. So having us two blabbers, not good for getting to the break.
Well, get your heart out.
Well, there we go. Appreciate you. Chris Russell, ladies and gentlemen, you can check him out weekdays 1 to 4 here on the Team 980. When we come back, we'll continue to take a look at the massive slate of preseason action that we got here this afternoon. That is next on The Fan. One quick segment as we say goodbye to our Team 980 audience. We got Nats baseball coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Just seeing clips on Twitter right now. Woof. Abdul Carter is scary. Week one's going to be a dogfight, man. I know a lot of you don't want to hear that. I know you all think the Giants suck, and there's just no way we could ever be in a competitive close game with that group. I beg to differ. Week one is going to be an absolute slobber knocker against the New York Giants, and based off of the way the two Giants games went last year, I'm confident in the team's ability to win. I just know it's going to be a test for sure. Appreciate our Team 980 listening audience for tapping in. If you want to hear the last half hour of the show, switch over to 106.7 The Fan. We'll take another timeout. When we come back, we'll take a spin around the National Football League and look at the top storylines from week one of the preseason. Final half hour left to go in the program as we lead you into our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball game two of Nats and Giants coming your way next. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler, they get you warmed up. I got Andrew Golden of the Washington Post put together a hell of a story this past week as he participated in the interim skipper Miguel Cairo's warm-up routine, running the bleachers with Miguel Cairo and asked him a bunch of difficult questions while sucking wind, gasping for air. So make sure you check that out in the Washington Post. If you don't get it, you don't get it. Anywho, preseason week number one. I know for us Commander fans, last night was not fun. I had fun. Let me not speak for everyone. I had a fun time watching the game last night. Any chance I get to watch football, NFL football at that, sign me up. Sign me up. I know it wasn't perfect. I know there's some things to improve on. But all in all, I thought, you know, for the most part, a couple of guys, you know, stood out and made it, you know, very obvious why we should be excited about them. Johnny Newton, Josh Connerly, Trey Amos, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Jeremy Reeves, I thought played well. Jeremy Reeves, I want to give a little bit more love to because if you're Jeremy Reeves, like, don't you think you should be the third safety? Like, right now, if I had to line up with three safeties, it's Will Harris, it's Quan Martin, and it's Jeremy Reeves. That's no slight to Tyler Owens or Percy Butler. I just think Jeremy Reeves is ready, man. I just think he's ready. And you saw the play that he got penalized on. He got penalized for knocking a dude's lights out. Got penalized for splitting a wig. Yes, those are the penalties. And they were 13 for 98 yards last night. That's a penalty, though, that Dan Quinn can live with. I know he can. Because it's just the mentality here. But when it comes to week number two of the preseason, what I'm going to be looking at and looking forward to the most, we'll talk about this a lot tomorrow. The starters got to play a fair amount of football for me next week in order for me to feel good. They got to play a fair amount. And is a half too much to ask? Probably. For some guys, it's not. But for most guys, people are going to say, oh, half is too much. What if they get hurt? Here's the thing. I said this yesterday. They got to start fast. When you think about the Commanders' schedule next season, the quote-unquote easy part of their schedule is right out of the gate. New York. Short week against Green Bay. That's a tough opponent. But Vegas, the Falcons, the Chargers, the Bears. Your first, 6 weeks, you got to come out of that 4-2, 3-3 at worst, but like ideally you're 4-2, 5-1. There are no Cleveland Browns on your schedule this year. There are no Carolina Panthers or Titans on your schedule this year. Teams that you just absolutely obliterated last year. Each and every week, you're going to be in a dogfight. So, to me, it's very clear. There's only one way to get ready to play football, and that's by playing football. So, I get the injury risk. I get all of you are upset, and you don't want dudes to get hurt. I feel all of that. But I also think it's paramount that this group gets off to a fantastic start. I think the best way to ensure that you get off to a fast start is by playing your guys during preseason. Point blank. 1-800-636-1067. If you want to chime in, one last opportunity for you to chime in on the Commanders preseason opener before we move on and take a look at the rest of the week one slate here in preseason. Our guy Fat Poet out in the city wants to chime in. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Linnell? How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother, man. How you do? How do you do? How do you do?
First time, long time for us, man. I normally tweet you, so.
Yeah, calling is different.
Good stuff. Yes, sir, but it's good times.
Man, I appreciate
you. No, so last night, I loved the game last night, and I loved it in a weird way. As an old coach, you know, you say that the camera doesn't lie.
No, it doesn't.
So when you watch last night's game, if there's a guy that's hesitant to take that extra step, to not do the extra things to get in place, last night was the perfect platform for them to see that they're not doing everything they need to do. And that's what I loved about yesterday. It's the perfect coaching tool. Like, nobody can say anything back to you after tomorrow. And I know you as a defensive end and a champion at Magruder High School.
Champion.
You know these things, man. But yeah, so last night, I mean, I'm with you with Bill. I thought Trey Amos actually showed me a whole lot more than I thought. He was in that guy's pocket the whole night. But just to leave out on something short and quick, I just think kicker is the thing that we got to worry about. I was worried about it before the season. Maybe that's my inner Chris Russell talking to me. But I was worried about the kicking game, so we'll see how that plays out. But I thought overall, I think Hartman doesn't have the arm to throw from the left side to the right side on the out route. So that's why he's not going to be the third guy. They got to get a third guy to replace him.
They need a third guy bad because we've seen it here in D.C. before. Injuries happen at quarterback, and normally when injuries happen at quarterback, they pile up. He can't play in a regular season game. I wouldn't be able to stand it. So appreciate you as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Yeah, the Sam Hartman stuff is tough. Great guy. Tremendous aura. Just not that good of a quarterback, man. And look, to his credit, it's preseason, right? And it's the first preseason action. He could look a lot better in the next preseason game. Like, that's usually how this goes. He could look a hell of a lot better in the next preseason game. Is that something I'm banking on? Is that a guarantee? Doubt it. Am I confident that last night was the worst version of Hartman that we'll see? No, I'm not. The big reason, though, that I think you got to give someone else another look next week is these wide receivers, the running backs, the tight ends, you want to have an opportunity to run after the catch. He is so inaccurate to where you can't get a legitimate look. And I know it's tough, and he's a fan favorite, and guys like him, but he just he simply wasn't good enough, man. Simply wasn't good enough. 1-800-636-1067. Eddie Goldman is the other guy for just now tuning in that I thought just did not play good enough. We'll see moving forward, though, you know, whether or not they can get better at that spot, because the interior defensive line, to me, is still a little bit of an issue, man. Let's go to Rob in Stafford. What's up, Rob?
Yes, sir. I'd like to bring back a little bit of nostalgia back from the 80s. I used to deliver the Washington Post, lived in Woodbridge, had a bunch of brothers, and we all delivered the Washington Post, mostly growing up, for about 15 years. During the 80s, Washington was playing Denver, and Ronald Reagan was president. And during that time, we were going through a recession. And they took a poll, and they found out that on Monday mornings, when all these senators and congressmen showed up to Senate that they would vote yes on every bill if the Washington Redskins won that previous Sunday. They were excited. They were elaborate. They were just hunky-dory. And then if they lost any type of bill that would come through the office, they would deny, deny, deny. Now, even though these senators and congressmen lived in different states, they resided in Washington, D.C. So they found that out on the attitude of those guys on a Monday morning. So one day, the Washington Post, during that run for the Super Bowl, ran a headline, and they said, for the good of the U.S. economy, please let the Redskins win the Super Bowl. And that was a true story. And then the Redskins won the Super Bowl over Denver. And then all of a sudden, our defense went up, pay went up. Ronald Reagan was the hero of that era. So I just want to let you know, let's tie it into this year. You have Trump. You have inflation. You have tariffs. You have high prices at grocery stores, et cetera, et cetera.
Where are you going with this, Rob? Where
am I calling from? Stafford.
Where are you going with this, Rob? I'm trying to follow you here, but what's the overarching point?
What I'm going to is that if we continue to support the Redskins and they do well, then ultimately people in Congress and people in Senate are going to be.
I mean, that's I can't. What? Come on. Like, that's. I just got a text from one of my favorite colleagues saying that call about the Senate was brutal. I got him off the line. That was rough. I mean, come on, guy. We really think that the win-loss record is impacting politics in Congress? Get a grip, Rob. That's those Virginia folks, man. This is how I alienate a part of the fan base. It's those Virginians. They're on their high horse. They're out of their rabbit-ass mind most of the time. Bottom line is this, though. To put a bow on last night, because I'm tired of talking about it. I want to get to the rest of the preseason. To put a bow on last night, some final overarching thoughts. It's the preseason opener. I think it was clear New England had a little bit more juice. You understand why they had a little bit more juice than Washington. They're unveiling a damn statue of Tom Brady pregame, so that'll get you revved up. You can't fake urgency. You can't fake desperation. I do not question the coaching staff for why the team came out flat. That opening kickoff, in reality, should have gotten called back. There were two egregious holding penalties that were missed. But the bottom line is, you got to look better than that. They were sloppy. I love Dan Quinn for admitting as much at the podium. Next week, against Cincinnati, I want to see some starters play. But I also want to see improvements. The one area that I keep pointing to and going, oh, gosh. And I hate to keep harping on this. The front seven just wasn't good enough last night. And when you think about what the Achilles heel was of this team last year, stopping the run, getting blown off the ball, you saw it last night from a guy in Eddie Goldman that's expected to be a part of their interior D-line rotation. He played a lot last night. I don't know if he ends up making this roster, but the bottom line is they got to be better. They got to be better. I thought Cain Medrano and Dom Hampton on first review did not play with the urgency that I wanted to see them play with in terms of screaming downhill and laying lumber on dudes in the run game. That is the area where they struggled. I thought the edge wasn't set consistently. But you were missing 30 guys. So I don't want to read too much into it. I don't want to make too much of a big deal out of the entire thing. But you got to be better. The standouts, though, stood out, right? Johnny Newton flashed, used his hands well. Thought he got some good pressures. Noah I was great. Thought Jeremy Reeves was pushing to be this team's third safety. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, I thought, ran well. You felt his burst. Trey Amos was, you know, good and continued his strong summer. I guess the biggest takeaway from a positive standpoint, I know he had a couple of hiccups, but Josh Connerly has, like, continued to impress me. He looked good. I heard he looked good in the joint practice against New England. hearing from the Patriots beat writers about Will Campbell and how he's been up and down kind of lends itself to our conversation we're having here locally. Tackle ain't a position in which you just make a seamless transition, right? Especially when you're flipping from the left side to the right side. I know a lot of headlines were made because I said Josh Connelly was underwhelming about a week and a half ago. He was, but he's gotten marketably better here as well over the past week. And I'm not going to close the door on him being the week one starter at right tackle. I think it's Andrew Wiley's job to lose still, but he definitely made it a much more difficult decision for this coaching staff. 1-800-636-1067. Someone just tweeted at me, why are you letting this weirdo continue to talk? I don't want to cut people off. You all are already mean and vicious to me online. That was the comment. I keep referencing this comment, but to get called a DEI hire? I mean, that was crazy. John is in Bethesda. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, man? First off, I want to say you're a better man than me for, you know, fighting through that call. So props to you. But, you know, I want to say I know it's early. I don't want to panic too much. I know it's preseason. None of it's really real. But my big concern is that rush defense. I got flashbacks of last year where it's like, ugh, man, they were both, just getting ran. Oh, yeah, so that's my one concern kind of heading into the season. I know we can't take too much away from it, but I guess against the Bengals and Ravens, I'd love to see something just to give me some confidence about that run defense. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you as always, man. Look, I keep pointing to Eddie Goldman. Eddie Goldman and Jazon Newton played a fair amount last night. Those are two guys that are, you know, if they make the roster, talking about Goldman, we know Johnny's going to, are expected to be a significant part of that rotation. Eddie Goldman was billed as this, like, run stuffer that's going to help them be better at the point of attack. He got moved 3 and 4 yards off the ball so many different times. That's why I'm trying to give Kane Medrano and Dom Hampton a little bit of grace, because it's hard to come downhill and you know, play balls to the wall against the run when you're getting your D tackles pushed into your lap. Like, that's tough. But I thought the front seven as a whole, man, the run fits were just off. Guys were out of a gap here, out of a gap there. And I know the a casual football fan may not understand it. When you are playing defense, every gap's got to be accounted for. When a gap is not accounted for, when a guy over-pursues, it opens up lanes and it allows the offense opportunities to gash you. This Commanders run defense was the Achilles heel last year. Honestly, after seeing Eddie Goldman last night, it puts more pressure to me on Javon Kinlaw, on Johnny Newton, on Deron Payne. They don't have, to me, tremendous depth on the interior. Somebody's got to step up. We'll see who it is. Really starting tomorrow in practice, man. I'm excited to see what they look like. I wonder how light of a practice it's going to be tomorrow when you consider you just played a game, you just had a flight back. I'm assuming it'll be a light day tomorrow, but you've got time to get geared up for the Week 2 game against Cincinnati. And in that game, you know, I expect to see some starters. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll take a spin around the National Football League. Week 1 of the preseason has been eventful to this point. Got a bunch of more games on tap this afternoon. Shedeur Sanders, though, yesterday. Impressive. We'll break down his performance plus the other top storylines from Week 1 of the preseason next here on The Fan. One final segment left to go before we hand things over to our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. The fellas playing game 2 of a 6-game, 2-city road trip. The last 2 outings for the Washington Nationals, they have been outscored 11-0. And if you date back to the series finale against the Milwaukee Brewers, the numbers are even worse. Bottom line is this. Not a long time left in the Nats season. Miguel Cairo and company. Oof. It's about finding out who's going to be a part of the future for this group. Who is going to come out and play hard each and every outing? Who's going to give you tough at-bats? Who's going to continue to fight here when it looks doom and gloom? I hadn't looked at their record in a while. I'll be real. They're 45-70. Like, that's... To be 25 games under 500 is, like, rough. But that is the current state of the Washington Nationals. A couple of bright spots down the stretch to look out for. Anytime you get to see the young man that's on the bump tonight, Brad Lord, anytime he gets to start, we love it. What I'm going to be looking forward to is tomorrow. Mackenzie Gore post All-Star break, even leading up to the All-Star break, his last two starts before that, I mean, he has been awful. And I know Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic came out and was like, you know, the Nats should probably be aggressive sellers at the deadline, especially with guys like Mackenzie Gore. And you all rolled your eyes and you told him he was stupid and knew nothing. Don't you wish you would have traded Mackenzie Gore now? Because if you think you're going to get a better return this winter than what you were going to get about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago at the deadline, you're tripping. You're tripping, but that's just what it is. Brad Lord gets the start here this afternoon for the Washington Nationals. Mackenzie Gore going to be on the bump tomorrow. And as always, you can hear all the action right here on your flagship home for Washington Nationals baseball, 106.7 The Fan. A couple other things that stood out to me around the NFL in terms of preseason week number one. We've talked about Jackson Dart. He looked good in the first half against the Buffalo Bills. Nice 29-yard touchdown pass. A little Jordan Humphrey. Had a couple of drops that, you know, hurt the stat line. Official stat line for Jackson Dart, 12-19, 154 and a touchdown. Would have looked a lot better than that had his receivers helped him out a little bit. But, yeah, that quarterback battle is interesting. Dable has already named Russell Wilson the week one guy. Based off of how Dart looked, though, you wonder how long Mr. Unlimited is able to keep that job. I think it has to do with team success, first and foremost. Like, they're not just going to bench Russell Wilson if the Giants get off to a good start. I don't foresee that happening. But I also think if you're Brian Dable and Joe Shane, your best and clearest path to, I guess, keeping your job is Jackson Dart showing some serious growth, some serious strides here. And I guess, you know, this afternoon was a good start. I want to, you know, rewind to last night real quick and look at that Browns and Panthers game. There was a lot of dialogue leading up to the game about, you know, Shedeur Sanders being set up to fail and he's not getting reps in practice and he's going out and he's going to have to play a majority of this preseason game. He didn't blink, man. I thought he looked pretty darn good. 14-23, 138, 2 touchdowns. I like the way he maneuvered within the pocket. One of the touchdown passes that he had, his ability to reset after the initial drop back was probably the most impressive part of it. You saw him take off and scramble, showing off a little bit of speed. Look, I understand how the pre-draft process can impact a guy's draft status and how people feel about him. There was no doubt in my mind, though, watching him last year and the past several years at Colorado and then at Jackson State, this kid is clearly an NFL quarterback. The idea that he lasted until the fifth round, to me, has a lot more to do with how owners feel about his personality than it does his play. His play screamed late first, early second. Humbly. And I'm a Shedeur fan. And I'm being unbiased when I say that. If you watch the tape, like a late first round grade, early second round grade. Him lasting until the fifth round, tough. But he showed last night, man, that, yeah, there's some gas in the tank. And, you know, he took 2 sacks. And there were some plays where he did the bit where he's running around like he's Johnny Manziel at College Station. I hate seeing that. But he played on time for the most part, man. And I'm wondering how last night's performance impacts the quarterback battle going on there in Cleveland, because anyone who watched last night, you got to feel like, hey, you know, this kid needs some more snaps. On the flip side, Bryce Young, 4-6, 56 yards. He got sacked. He was able to hook up with Tedaro McMillan on a 30-yard completion. But he's another cat that's got a real, real massive opportunity this year when it comes to making an impact. The question I ask when I do my national radio is like, well, are the Panthers going to be in the quarterback market next year? Will they be in the quarterback market next year? A lot of people were encouraged by the way Bryce Young finished down the stretch. I was as well. I think he played better than the numbers, you know, may have, you know, lent himself to believe, but to me, it's just hard to believe in Bryce Young because there's no precedent for a 5'10", 200-pound quarterback having success in the National Football League. That's the one area where I continue to push back on Bryce Young and those that are big supporters of him. The preseason action that we got on tap tonight is actually pretty interesting. You're going to get to see J.J. McCarthy coming up in about a half hour on NFL Network at the conclusion of Giants and Bills. We'll also get to see Joe Milton tonight. I'm excited to see Travis Hunter. He's expected to make his debut with the Jaguars. Cam Ward expected to make his pro debut. That's the other interesting one to me. When you think about the last 2 years, the way C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels came in and changed the trajectory of the Texans and the Commanders, I wonder if, you know, Cam Ward is going to be afforded that same opportunity. I think he's got all the tools. All of the, you know, reports coming out of Tennessee is that this kid is just a pro's pro and that he gets it. I hope he's able to have some early success here for the Tennessee Titans, because I just like the way, first of all, I like the way he carries himself. I love the work ethic stuff that you hear about him. And then his college career, man, going to two different locations and having success, I think it speaks a lot about who you are. The other thing I'm curious to see is this. Justin Fields getting the start tonight against the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Glenn said, yeah, our guys are going to play a significant amount. We're going to see, though, how much he actually plays. That's going to do it, though, here for the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.